Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Rates and Lanes with Rico Mohammed. This is the show where we improve your knowledge of the freight market, improve your bottom line, and improve the transportation industry as a whole. We're talking Rates and Lanes. Let's move on down the audio road.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rico Mohammed, and this is the show Rates and Lanes. As fate would have it, live radio and all, getting ready to try to make a delivery, so it may be a little extra noise going on in the background. I was hoping to have a little pinch-hitting help tonight from one of our resident mentors, but I'm not sure if he's going to be able to make it in. So we're just going to have to deal with it the best way we know how. Let's see here. I wanted to get right into it. We've got a couple of things that I wanted to pass on to you guys here in just a few seconds. But I want to start out, as we normally always do, with the USDA truck rate report. USDA... We are showing a couple of areas that have a shortage of trucks. Those areas are Big Lake and Central Minnesota. And I have a special story that I wanted to pass on to everyone that's in that area of Big Lake and Central Minnesota. I had a story that I ran across about some the red potatoes that are coming out of that area. There seems to be a major opportunity if you happen to be in that area, based out of that area. Seems to be a major opportunity to be had if you are in position to take advantage of it. And the next area that is showing a shortage of trucks is Eastern North Carolina. Eastern North Carolina shows a shortage of trucks. And the third area that is showing shortage of trucks is New York. New York has a shortage of trucks. And the fourth and final area that is showing an outright shortage of trucks is Central Wisconsin. Those four areas are some areas that there are some opportunities to be had, opportunities to take advantage of, especially on the spot market. But in the case of area, the Big Lake and Central Minnesota area, there's a story that I ran across about the potatoes that are coming out of that area. It may be even an opportunity for you, if you are in that area, to develop a relationship with some of those shippers up there to put yourself in a position, because it seems as if they are in a little bit of a quagmire and a conundrum with being able to get adequate trucks in those areas to supply the needs that they have of what they have going on up there. Although it may be a little bit seasonal, but if you can get in there and if you got bigger aspirations, it may be something that can be very lucrative for you and your operation. Other areas that are showing a slight shortage of trucks is Upper Valley, Twin Falls, Burley District, Idaho, Michigan, Columbia Basin, Washington. Those areas are all showing slight shortages of trucks. So there are potential in seven different areas across the country where there's a potential to be had to really make a little bit of, put a little hay in the barn, so to speak. Everywhere else, according to the USDA report, when it comes to fruits and vegetables, everywhere else in the country seems to be at an adequate supply of trucks. So there's not a whole lot going on there and other areas of the country. Of course, we have a copy of the USDA report up on our Facebook page, Rates and Lanes. With Rico Mohammed, we have a copy of it up on the Facebook page for your viewing pleasure. So you can go over there and take your time and look through it and peel through it as much as you would like to. Moving right along, we're going to jump over. As a matter of fact, I want to go to that story that I was telling you guys about the potato shippers are scrambling for trucks in central Minnesota. That's the headline on this particular story. The central Michigan potato season kicks off the upper Midwest potato season each year, and demand for trucks has been stronger this year. The season started on July 24th with red potatoes out of Big Lake, Minnesota, as well as Long Prairie, Minnesota, although in most years Long Prairie gets underway a week to 10 days later. The two areas only have five or six major shippers, but they will load 4,000 to 4,100 trucks in roughly a six-week period. The season starts winding down after Labor Day. Central Minnesota russet shipments just started late last week. So that's what I was saying about there are some opportunities to be had there for someone that happened, that may happen to be in those particular areas. That's interesting. Going to move on over and jump into the DAT trend lines report. You ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. You have to bear with me for just a few seconds here. I got a situation where I'm trying to deliver a load and do the show at the same time. We ran into a little bit of a scheduling conflict. I didn't want to not do the show, but sometimes it looks real. It gets a little hectic when we're trying to do the show live and we have a lot going on. So I do apologize for that. Wish I had some way to pre-record the shows, but sometimes a lot of this information that I'm trying to bring to you guys and share with you guys doesn't come out until later in the day, and I don't have an opportunity to get a chance to sit down to actually record a show. So that's where we end up sometimes struggling to try to pull off a lot of the stuff that we're trying to do at the same time. So if you guys just bear with me for a few seconds, we're going to try to get this truck backed in and get this shipment off. But the other thing about that is it's kind of a caveat, two things in one. I don't like it because I'm not able to give you guys the attention that I'm trying to give you and get the information over to you that I'm trying to get to you. But the other thing about it is that at least you understand and know that this is someone that's actually out here in the trenches doing this in reality with you guys. It's just not someone just spouting off something that, they're not actually out here, not actually getting their hands dirty, so to speak, in real world situations to actually understand what it is that we actually go through out here on the road and what we have to go through when dealing with shippers and dealing with the receivers. So I guess it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other, but I would just much rather, if I had the availability to just kind of be sitting in the house, sitting behind a screen without any interruptions, things could probably go a lot smoother, be a lot more professional. But hey, this is the way we've been doing it for a while now, so that's not to say that we're not trying to make ways for improvement, but it is what it is at this point. I appreciate your patience. And we're going to get this thing back in, and we're going to get right back to the meat of the matter. I was scanning our list to see if our guests had made it on board to maybe hold you guys over till I got back. And I don't think Chuck was able to make it in. Chuck was trying to get in to come on board with us again tonight. but I'm not sure if he was able to get himself freed up himself. So let's do this. Before I run in, let's finish up this DAT report. How about that? Harvey disrupts supply chains, causing capacity shortfalls. In the first full week since Hurricane Harvey, truckers rushed to help with the emergency relief. Supply chains faced massive disruption, and ripple effects led to capacity shortfalls in multiple freight markets throughout the country. Van rates soared an average of 12 cents per mile nationwide as a result, while reefer rates rose 3 cents per mile and flatbeds added 2 cents. Also on the rise are diesel prices, which increased an average of 15 cents per gallon nationally due to the closure of many Houston area refineries. So that gives you an idea of how Harvey has been affecting everything on the spot market. Let's jump over really quickly and see how dry vans were performing over this time period. In the first full week after, that's not what we want. There we go. National van load postings increased by 4%, and the truck postings declined by 5% compared to the previous week to yield a 9% increase in the load-to-truck ratio from 5.2 up to 5.6 loads per truck nationally. The national average van rate jumped 12 cents higher in the first full week following Hurricane Harvey. Taking a look back historically, van load postings were up 11% from July to August, while truck posts also rose 12% as a result of the August load-to-truck ratio matched July's average of a 5.2 van loads per truck. The ratio was up 89% compared to August of 2016. The average price of diesel was up by 5.4% nationally to a national average of $2.76 per gallon. Taking a look at the rates for dry vans, in the first full week after Hurricane Harvey made landfall, the national average van rate jumped 12 cents to $1.90 per mile. Rates surged into and out of the Houston and Dallas markets, of course. Harvey-related supply chain disruptions led to capacity shortages that also boost rates in major van markets throughout the U.S. as the storm indirect effects reached Atlanta, Chicago, Denver, Los Angeles, and other major markets. Historically, the national average van rate for August increased 1 cent to $1.79 per mile. Compared to July, the rate was 18 cents higher than the average in August of 2016. Ah, I see our good friend has made it on board. Let's grab him real quickly, and that gives me an opportunity to maybe go do what I need to go handle really quickly. Chuck.
Hey, Rico.
Hey, I appreciate you making it in, my friend. I'm scrambling over here. I'm at a Walmart distribution center trying to make a delivery. They kind of moved my time back a little bit, so it kind of messed
up
a little bit of what I was trying to do. But I'm glad you made it up and on board, so that our listeners will have someone to kind of pinch hit for me for about 15 minutes while I go run in here and take the bills and everything. So and I'll come back and pick things up. But if you got some stuff you wanna definitely share with everybody, it gives you an opportunity to get that in. Callers, if you got questions, it's gonna take me about 15 minutes to go run and do what I need to do. But if you got questions, you go ahead and press number one. That lets the screener know that you got a question or something that you wanna add to the show, and we'll get to you as soon as I get back in. With that being said, Chuck, you got about 15 minutes worth of material.
I think between all the listeners out there that probably have a million questions, I'm sure we can handle it. So you go ahead, Rico, and you go fight with the folks at Walmart, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
But it won't take, hopefully it won't take me but about 15 minutes. We're going to try to make it quick and painless.
You're about to God's ear.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, now that I have everybody to myself, this is a great opportunity. I got to meet a whole bunch of yous down in Dallas at the GATT show. We were exhibiting there. And as you people know that I met down there, we've opened up a new office in Dallas. Things are rocking. We're in the suburb of Plano. Lots happened in Dallas. It was a really good show. Met a lot of people. One of the things that I noticed about the trucking environment in Texas is the focus of the truckers. It was refreshing. I got to tell you, I met very few people that ran trucking companies that were from 1 to 10 trucks. And when I spoke to them and asked them what they did, very few of them said, we run 48 states. Everybody that I met, and this is about the vast majority, and you know, probably 95% or 90% of the people that we met at that show that we met, when we asked what they did, they were all saying that they focused on 5 states or 3 states or a certain area. There were some that focused on certain commodities. There was a lot of people obviously involved in oil and gas, a lot of people involved in hauling rock. But we met very few unfocused carriers, and it was nice, and there was a lot of success because of that. The show was fantastic. Great turnout. I think the turnout probably would have even been better had it not been for Hurricane Harvey, because people that were from the Houston area, I think those days, the last thing they were thinking about was attending a truck show up in Dallas. I think they had to stay close to home and deal with all of the hell on earth at their front door. But it was certainly a great show, and what a great bunch of people I got to meet there. And if any of you are on the line and want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. So lots happening out there this week, especially with Hurricane Harvey and this upcoming Hurricane Irma about to hit Florida. Puts things into a different perspective, and we're watching freight rates increase, not for good reasons, but because of the uncertainty out there. And fuel is going up as a result, so if you can afford it, buy some futures in fuel. Probably not a bad idea right now if you can. There's all sorts of changes because of this storm. And who knows what's going to happen and who knows where it's going to go. But, you know, in the trucking industry, we're prepared for it. And any of our listeners that are out there, yes.
All right. I just wanted to jump back in really quickly. I wanted to check before I ran inside. I see we do got a couple of people with some questions. So I'm going to get somebody up and on board with you so you ain't so lonely up there. I'm going to grab Steve. Steve, you up and on board with Chuck, and I'll be back again.
It's live show. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call, Chuck and Rico. Chuck, a couple of questions. Run over with you and ask you. As of the day, I made my down payment on my insurance to get my authority active, and I admire you so much, and I really appreciate you so much. I'm looking to work with your firm and your company once I get the authority active. Yes, sir. And I was just hearing you say that you just opened up a office out of Dallas. You know,
yes,
I'm
sir.
From the
we opened up in Plano, Texas a couple of weeks ago, right at the Monday after GATS.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I'm domiciled out of the Southeast region from Georgia. And again, I am looking forward to working, you know, with you guys and build a relationship with you guys, you know, in the process. And I was just asking, was there any restriction on a brand new authority that your company have?
We will work with you, and especially when you call in and say we spoke on the show, gives you a little bit more credibility as well. You're not just right off the street. What sort of trailer are you planning on pulling?
Fifth and three drive.
Good. Good. You know what? You're getting in at the right time. And what are you getting for a truck?
Well, I already have my truck in and my trailer's paid for. So.
You're in really good position. Oh, that's great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you're going to now, do you have any customers of your own or that you're going with?
Nope.
Or?
No, because I'm fairly new at this, I listen to the podcast and I'm listening to Kevin Rutherford and doing my numbers and all. I do want to work directly with shippers, but for the time being, just getting started, I want to build a relationship, with guys like you and start and work, work that angle. And, and if things get good, I just stay with you guys and just run.
Well, you have a much better chance of success if if you're going to work in an area, let's say, from Georgia to Texas. Is that what you were thinking of, or what were you thinking of for a region in which to serve?
Yeah, Texas, back over this way, up into the Chicago area and, places.
Okay, well,
like
now
that.
You're getting really, really big. You're covering half the country. You got one truck. Let's tone this down if you want to be successful, okay? Let's take a page out of those guys in Texas notebook. 95% of those people that I met, they worked one region. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see you do the same thing, if you can.
I got you.
Because then people are going to start calling you in order to people will call you in order to book your truck because they know you can handle a certain region.
Yes, sir.
And if you're going from if you're going from Georgia to Dallas, then up to Chicago, you've lost your flavor. You know, it's like the difference between the place that just sells hamburgers and becomes very famous for hamburgers and the place that sells 8,000 different things.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like a hamburger, you're going to the place for hamburgers.
I got you.
Be
so
famous
guess,
for something.
So I guess, I was leased to Landstar. And I did my best run whenever I did mostly under I-40 and that Louisiana is about the furthest that I would go west and North Carolina, like Charlotte area, would be about the furthest that I go east, and I did good work in that area. So I'm kind of thinking that since you mentioned it that way, I may continue to still run those lanes.
I think that's a great idea. I think that that's a big enough playground. I don't think you need any bigger because if you go any bigger, you're just going to lose your edge, and your edge is the lane in which you serve. And the best thing you can possibly do, and I see this here all the time when I'm talking to carriers, and whether they're big or small. Now, you have a big carrier, the Celadons of the world. Well, of course, they go 48 states and 10 provinces. They're a little bit different. But for smaller carriers, the ones that are virtually known because they service New England from Georgia, or they service the Carolinas, from Georgia, or they service Carolinas to New Jersey, whatever it is, especially when you're starting out, that is imperative if you want to build success. And the smaller, the shorter the run, the more success you're going to have.
I got you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A whole bunch of things happen when you have these short runs. Number one, what you really want to do is be within that 300 to 600 miles from the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best way you can do it. If you can do that, and then you also, at the same time, you become very familiar with where you're going to stop. And then your customers, whether they're direct customers or they're load brokers, know that Steve is in Atlanta Mondays loading.
Mm-hmm.
We know a guy that runs Atlanta on, he loads Monday in Atlanta, and he delivers every Wednesday in Dallas.
Yes, sir.
And you know, you can do partial loads, too. I don't know if you ever thought of that.
Yeah, I have thought about that, and I have put a couple of LTL loads together with Landstar, so I am sort of familiar with that.
You know, there's not enough guys doing that in the small operations game, and I can tell you we have done it here, and we've been very successful at it. And I have guys that come in here, small carriers that have, you know, 1 to 5 trucks, that do very well with those. And let's not get confused out there. When Steve and I are talking about LTL, we're not talking about a 1-skid, 200-pound weight shipment, because you'll
right.
go broke putting those on a trailer.
Right.
You've got to have, you've got to have at least about 5,000 pounds to make it worth your while, minimum, which is 2 to 4 skid minimum. And really, you should be able to, if you're smart with a dry van, put 5 to 6 quarters on a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can pack and stack a little bit. You can use logistics bars. You can use plywood. You can use straps. And those things will make you nothing but money. Have you considered doing that?
Yeah, I have thought about that, and that have ran across my mind.
What I would do is, and it's a little bit slower to start, but if you do this, mark my words, in a year, I bet you if you call this show, you'll have made a lot more money.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if you can do, rather than run across the country, if you could spend a day or day and a half in Atlanta, you're based out of Atlanta, I presume?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if you could spend a day, like every 1 day a week in Atlanta putting together a load, and 1 day a week in Dallas delivering a load, and a load 1 day a week picking up in Dallas, how would that look? Could you do it?
I believe I could do it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's your there's a great business plan for you.
Okay.
And then what's going to happen is your customers on both ends will know Steve's the guy for partial loads. And whether it's – you'll get some direct freight eventually, because word's going to get out. You'll have load brokers that will be climbing all over it because they want an alternative. And a lot of times the big guys, the XPO and the YRCs of the world, they don't want those larger partial loads. They don't want
right.
the 24 feet. That totally submarines their business model.
Yeah.
But you want that. You know, we call that base freight.
Yes, sir.
And you can run for $5 a mile. We've had people on this show that do that.
Yes, sir. I know whenever I did it with Landstar, I had a really one of the best paying runs that I did have, and I am going to look into that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, some of the best, the best paying work I ever did in my life was stuff like that, and especially where I was in control. Either I was totally in control of the truck and driver, or I was the truck and driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the time. You know, sometimes you get a guy that is eager to make money, and other times you get a guy that's eager to go home. But
right.
when you're the driver, you're in control.
Yes, sir.
So just go. Do you have load bars, logistics bars?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
Okay, best investment there is for anybody out there listening. Get those, get some straps, get a couple of blankets if you need them. Just carry them just in case. And plywood is cheap. You can just put it on the nose of the trailer. And something I found was really helpful, the last group of trailers I bought, I bought 50 53-footers, and what I designed on those trailers, because they were built for us, I put the e-tracking in the nose of the trailer.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and they'd never seen that before. I should have patented that idea. But, sometimes you'll have a big, ugly skid you want to put it in the nose. but you don't want it to pull sideways?
Exactly, yes.
So you put your straps around it that way, and that prevents it from moving forward or going sideways.
Okay.
We look forward to working with you, and I'll give you the number to the Dallas office. You want to take it down?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Okay. Get set up with those guys. 888-713-5189.
Okay.
And it's extension 721.
I really do appreciate it.
No problem. And good luck to you.
I'm definitely looking forward to working with you guys. I really am.
Likewise.
Yes, sir.
You have a good night and be safe out there.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm back with you, Chuck. I appreciate you guys pinch hitting for me.
No problem, Rico. If you unloaded at Walmart, you're winning an award.
Well, I'm not unloaded quite yet. We were trying to work out the check-in procedure.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what that mumbo jumbo was. We was getting some stuff organized and corrected, but and it's a good thing I was trying to get in here early because you know they only let you get in here about an hour before your appointment time. So I was trying to get in here early to try to get things situated before the show come on the air, and wouldn't you know if it just be my luck that the line is back off to the highway.
Well, that's how it always works.
Right. So, Chuck, before I go any further, I want to kind of wrap up this DAT deal real quick.
Go ahead, Rico.
I think I stopped off on we were talking about dry vans, and I'm going to give you guys some rates from across the country. Dealing with dry vans, starting out in that northeastern pocket up there, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania being the representative city, they show average spot market rates for dry vans coming out of there at $1.75. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Atlanta, Georgia shows $2.03 on average on the spot market coming out of the southeast. Moving into the Midwest, Chicago, Illinois checking in, showing spot market rates for dry vans at $2.32 per mile. Dallas, Texas, being the South Central representative city, showing $1.91 per mile on the spot market. And Los Angeles, California, wraps up the spot market for dry vans, showing an average of $2.14 per mile. Moving on over, changing up segments, we're going to go over into the flatbed segment next. We're going to look at the national demand and capacity for flatbeds over the past week. Flatbed load postings declined 4% while truck postings dipped 4%. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to increase 0.5% to 26.7 loads per truck. The national average flatbed rate moves higher compared to the previous week. And we know that was all due to the Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. Looking back historically, compared to July, flatbed load posts declined 5% in August, while truck posts increased 22%. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to fall 22% to 28.7 loads per truck. Compared to August of 2016, the flatbed load-to-truck ratio has soared by 170% on the spot market. Taking a look at the national rates for flatbeds on the spot market, the national average rate for flatbeds increased 2 cents to $2.20 per mile on average. That's just 2 cents lower than the 2-year high that was marked earlier in August. Expect flatbed rates to rise in the coming weeks as hurricane relief turns to rebuilding efforts in Texas and soon in Florida as well. Because there is another hurricane that is bearing down on the United States, probably looking to make landfall this weekend. Flatbed rates increased 1 cent per mile in August. This is a historical look back. Flatbed rates increased 1 cent per mile in August compared to July. The August national average of $2.18 per mile is the highest monthly average since June of 2015. Compared to August of 2016, last month's average rate rose a whopping 28 cents or 15%. So, taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, checking in, showing average spot market rates for flatbeds at $3.21 per mile. That leads the charge. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Atlanta, Georgia, checks in, showing average spot market rates for flatbeds at $2.70 per mile. Moving into the Midwest, Rock Island, Illinois, checking in, $2.75 per mile on average on the spot market for flatbeds. Down into the south central portion of the United States, Houston, Texas, checking in, $2.72 per mile on average for flatbeds. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, Phoenix, Arizona, showing an average of $1.82 per mile on average for flatbeds coming out of the West Coast. And moving on over into the segment that is near and dear to my heart, the reefer demand and capacity report for the previous week. We can get it pulled up here. Trying to give me rate information. We're not ready for rates yet. This is report stems back from August 27th through September 2nd. Nationally, reefer loads postings increased 11% and truck posts declined by 4%, which resulted in 16% increase in the load-to-truck ratio to 11.6 loads per truck. The national average reefer rate moves higher. Let's take a look back historically. In August, reefer load postings increased 20%, while truck posts increased by 8% compared to July. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to rise 11% from 8.8 up to 9.8 loads per truck nationally, the second highest monthly load-to-truck ratio in more than 2 years. Compared to August 2016, the load-to-truck ratio has soared up by 78%. Now let's go and take a look at the rates. And the first full week following Hurricane Harvey, the national average reefer rate added 3 cents to jump up to $2.10 per mile, a fairly modest increase compared to a 12-cent jump in the average rate for dry vans. Reefer rates rose sharply out of Dallas and throughout the Midwest as shippers struggled to reconfigure supply chains in the wake of the storm. The national load-to-truck ratio for reefers also moved higher. Historically, taking a look back, the average spot market rate average for reefers increased 11 cents from July to August, reaching $2.08 per mile. That's the second highest monthly average in 2 years. The August average was 19 cents higher than the average of August 2016. So that gives you a little bit of historical significance there on how we have progressed a little bit. Taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, Elizabeth, New Jersey being the representative city, showing average spot market rates for reefers at $1.99 per mile. Coming out of Lakeland, Florida, the southeastern representative city, showing average spot market rates for reefers at $1.24 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Green Bay, Wisconsin, leading the charge as normally, showing a whopping a strong $3.57 per mile on average coming out of Green Bay, Wisconsin on the spot market. Wow. Moving down into the south central portion of the United States, we have McAllen, Texas, coming out of McAllen, average spot market rate for reefers at $1.85 per mile. And Fresno, California, wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, $2.08 per mile coming out of Fresno for reefers. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will wrap up this week's DAT Trendlines report. And Chuck, really quickly, with situations, when you have these situations with these national disasters and stuff like that, when we're dealing with FEMA lows, et cetera, if you have a relationship with a broker that is moving these loads, what would, being a carrier and a broker, what would be your advice to some of our listeners? Because I know that this has been a major topic of discussion on how to get in, how does one get in on up and on board with getting working with the government. And there's a whole lot of red tape that you got to go through. And if you haven't already been established and have those things in place, maybe we'll cover those things that you have to do on a later show to give you kind of give you a bulletin point to walk you through of all the things that you need to do if you want to try to work directly with the government. But if you don't already have that stuff in place right now, you can hang it up. You'll never get through the red tape to get in place to take advantage of what's going on right now. So if you have a relationship with a broker that does have those things in place, that's going to be your best bet to try to take advantage of those things. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Chuck. Tell us some things that if they're working with a broker, how can they cultivate that relationship?
Okay, couple things. Number one, when I was at MATS this year in Louisville, there was a brokerage firm there, and I did not get their name because there was nothing we could do. They weren't going to work with another broker, nor would we work with them. We're not going to co-broker loads together. And they couldn't use my fleet because of the fact that they were contracted to FEMA, and they needed to use U.S. carriers. For any of the small carriers that are listening, whether you have one truck or five trucks, it's not worth the red tape and the paperwork and usually the weight for money that you have to go through when you're dealing with government agencies. It's just not worth it. And no offense against anybody's government, I've dealt with the Canadian federal government enough times, and until you get established and they know who to pay and you go through all the red tape, you can wait 90 days for your money. That's number one. Number two, my only experience with FEMA was during the crisis in New Orleans. And I got to tell you, FEMA was a lot different then, and I'll go on record, it was a nightmare. But I understand things are very well run now. But we had a truck that ended up, it was almost 3 weeks getting him unloaded with a load of water. And the broker, it went through, if I'm not mistaken, it went from Landstar and somebody else co-brokered the load, and it was a load of water out of Canada, and we were told it was going to Arkansas, and I needed to get to Memphis. And when we got to Arkansas, they told us to go to Mississippi, and we got to Mississippi, then all the fun started, and it was just a nightmare. But things are better. But whatever you do when you're dealing with any of these loads, get everything in writing, especially demurrage, because that can happen. And don't take anybody's word for it. Make sure if you're hauling any of these government loads, there's a good chance, especially during a national disaster like we've had in Houston, like we may have down in Florida or some of the other surrounding states, nobody knows how long your truck, you know, you pick up a load of water, nobody knows how long it's going to take to get unloaded. But somebody needs to pay you for your time because you're running a business. So for that reason, make sure you spell out with that broker in writing how much they are going to pay you every day for your services. And there's a good chance when you're delivering goods for a national disaster, your truck is going to get moved around. So you should put in a mileage rate as well for any additional miles you're going to do. And then keep in fact that, you know, you may be stuck in some great big parking lot somewhere for 2 or 3 or 4 days getting unloaded. So you got to consider all of this. And if you do that, you should be all right and deal with a reputable broker. And for the most part, if the broker is dealing with FEMA directly, he's going to be reputable because your government checks people out. They're not going to let some fly-by-night guy that is just about broke handle their loads. They need their loads to go to market, or in this case, not market, but they need their loads to go to the disaster site. And there can't be any, you know, any errors or anything. They don't want people holding loads ransom, and that's what happens sometimes when carriers have a broker's load and the broker's not paying. So they'll be checked. So you should be okay, but just make sure you know who you're dealing with and you spell it out. But don't expect a quick unload.
With that being said, let's go grab a couple of callers. We've got a few people with their hands raised. Let's go grab Julio. Julio, you're up and on board with Rico and Chuck. How can I help? Uh-oh. Are you there, Julio? Let's put him back on hold. We'll come back and grab him before we try to get out of here. Let's go and grab Alan. Alan, you're up and on board with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
How are you gentlemen doing tonight?
We're well.
I got a question for you. Rico, you should be in the Northeast running reefer freight right now, because $4 a mile is about what we're running.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll stick with my. I got a pretty good deal with some of the contract stuff I'm doing down here, so I'll stick with this one right now.
Rico gets a nosebleed if he goes north to Delaware.
Well, you know, I'm not talking Jersey or New York City or any of that. I'm talking Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Central New York, and a little bit of Maryland sprinkled in there. You know, the rates, just getting crazy rates out there. And example out of Rochester, Pennsylvania, which is the Pittsburgh area, back up to Nichols, New York, Binghamton, $3,000 last week.
Whoa! God bless you. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. I've been hearing those things, but the thing about it is, Alan, that, you know, that like I always caution everybody is, you know, you have to make a decision sometimes. Do you chase the dollar, or do you continue to build relationships that you already have in place? And that's kind of the conundrum that I'm in. I got a relationship that I'm definitely trying to cultivate and protect. So you know, that keeps me a little bit from being able to go out there and just chase dollars. But at the same time, it helps out on the consistency part of it, because at least I can kind of have a little bit of consistency year round with the revenue that I generate. But I definitely miss the wild west days of going out there and just trying to get the most money you can get.
And it's not even trying to. This is the thing. They're calling us. We're just simply posting trucks, and like that was through a hub, and that guy's calling. That was Friday, the load delivered Tuesday morning because of holiday and stuff. He's called me, what's today, Wednesday? 4 times already on different loads that we, you know, unfortunately we weren't able to hook up, but.
That's wonderful.
The rates he was offering are definitely, if I'd have had a truck in the area or I'd have been sitting in the area, it would have been on board, you know.
Well, I think that this speaks to what they talked about on the DAT report about how much the hurricane has definitely affected supply chains, because you never know what may have been thrown off in the areas that were affected that caused the rates to spike that much. I mean, because that's definitely not something of the norm. But hey, at this point, I'm sure you're like, hey, I don't care what it is today, as long as it keeps coming for a little while.
Take it while you can get it there, Alan.
Well, the produce started early. You know, they started harvesting cabbage and whatnot early in New York.
Yep.
And we were getting calls about 2.5, almost 3 weeks earlier to pull produce. And apples started running a little bit earlier, too. So that impacted the availability and the capacity for trucks in the area. Of course, with Harvey and now with Irma coming on board, they're wanting to raise a little hell. You know, some of the brokers, well, I went down there and cleaned up after Andrew, so I know what that's going to be like. You know, let it settle down. I'll go down and help as much as I can, but we're not going down there before. It's going to be
no,
crazy.
There's no sense.
Well, a perfect example, we had a broker call Columbus, Ohio to, let's say it was Baltimore. It was offered $800. I mean, just totally out of touch with anything close to the area. And some of them are like that, but the vast majority of people have been calling us, and we're getting called, return calls on loads that we pulled. There's not an argument on the this is the rate. You want the truck? Yep. Okay, that's it. You know.
Well, that's fantastic.
I think people need to stick to their guns on the rates. There's a truck shortage, you know.
Well, you can't.
Don't
you know what, Alan? You can stick to your guns right now on the rates, but come in January, it'll go back to the way it always is. Make your money while you can. I think that if you took a look at what you do in a year with running all over the place, and what somebody else will do on a steady lane, somebody like Rico running the same amount of miles, it all evens out, believe it or not, in the end.
Well, I'm not running all over. I run New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and part of Maryland.
Do you have the same customers all the time?
On outbound and some of my return stuff, yes. I do have direct customers. But
do you have the same brokers giving you the same work all the time?
I do have consistency being built up. I got my authority in January, and the company that I was leased to, we still do quite a bit of work together.
Right.
And so it's like if I get stuck in a situation, they're there to help. If they need help, I step in and help. But everybody, when I got my authority, everybody said, oh, you're doing it the wrong time. You should wait till June. Then that way you'll get the big rush and everything. I haven't had an issue with making over $2.50 a mile the whole year.
That's wonderful.
You know, just
finding
the ring.
That's absolutely great. Make sure that you're putting back, Alan. That's the only thing. That a lot of times when rates are really good, and one thing that I try to caution a lot of us on is, make sure you're putting enough back for a rainy day. Make sure that you put, so that you're not overextending yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't go out and splurge too much just yet.
Yeah, don't go buy all that chrome for the truck.
I drive a 95 F-350 that's got 250,000 miles on it. I don't splurge.
I get it.
I like no pain.
Right, Alan,
you guys have
you
a
got anything else you want to add? Okay.
No,
well,
I think
Alan.
You know what? I like Alan's business model. He's doing it right.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's one of the things that we talk about here is make sure that you are, that you got a defined area that you're trying to work in. It sounds like Alan is definitely working that defined area. Let's go and try and grab Julio once again. Julio, you're on the board with Rico and Tuck. How can we help?
Yes, sir. My name is Leo, L-E-O.
Leo, okay. My screen has got you in there backwards.
Yes, sir. I just bought my truck last month. And
congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And I went to the process to fix it up and get all the requirements, and I'm still waiting on Lasta to give me an answer. And maybe it's not the topic of the show, but will you give me I really like the business models of Lasta that I can choose the lows where I want to and take times when I want to. If for some reason I don't get a call back to start orientation, which company would you recommend for me to lease that it has closest as this, the business model as Landstar?
If Landstar, the next closest one to Landstar that I know of and that I feel comfortable with recommending you to would be Mercer.
Yeah, I'd agree.
How do you spell that?
Mercer, M-E-R. C-E-R. They're out of Louisville. They're out of Louisville,
what?
Kentucky.
Okay.
They're based out of Louisville, Kentucky.
And I think I miss you when somebody talk over you. M-E-R?
M-E-R.
C-E-R.
C-E-R.
M S-T-E-R. Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, no problem, Leo. Hopefully that helps you out there. Well, that was a quick and easy one. Let's go and grab Colin before we get out of here. Colin, you're up and on board with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey, sir. First of all, what company are you with, Chuck?
I'm with Traffix, T-R-A-F-F-I-X.
Oh, okay. No, it's not Traffix. Tech out of Canada. You with Traffix?
No, we're with Traffix.
Okay, all right.
We're out of Canada as well.
We run a lot of Canada, so I'll have to get set up with you. But one of the comments I wanted to make was I've been running these FEMA loads.
Right.
And the drivers need to be really careful. Everything that we've been doing is dropping trailers. Last night there was a 4.5 mile line of trucks to get drop trailers, and you were looking at 6 to 8 hours with basically no bathroom facilities, no food, no nothing. And nobody really cared. People were falling asleep. It was 3-4 o'clock in the morning. You're falling asleep on your wheel, and maybe somebody will blow their horn to wake you up, like I did a couple guys as I was getting empty and coming back out. The other thing you got to do is, first couple days, you know, one broker or one agent in the brokerage would give you one price. I got $6 a mile, and I booked the exact same load the next day, and the guy's trying to give me $3 a mile. And these guys are so damn greedy, you know, and they're already making a killing. And so you've really got to stick to your guns. You've really got to pay attention. And then they're turning around, and if you don't use MacroPoint, they're taking $500 off the rate con. If you don't do a check call, they're taking $500 off the rate con. I mean, they're just trying to get you every possible way, and I'm calling them up, and I'm like, okay, you never sent me the MacroPoint, and you still want to find me? So
that's not right.
You know, I mean, there's just a lot of BS that's going on, and so I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. Yes, you can make a lot of money. Yeah, I'm good. You can make a lot of money, but you just got to pay attention. Make sure you read the rate confirmations, do what it asks, and do a good job, you know. But plan on dropping trailers or being there a hell of a long time.
Are you running an ELD or are you running paper log?
Right now, we've got the exemptions. My company, we run Big Road.
Right.
And so I am telling the guys, just log it the way that you're running it.
Right.
But, you know, Texas is all under exemption. Alabama, Louisiana, we're all under exemption. So we can just get out there and run. I mean, we've been running 900,000 miles a day.
I like the good old days. My God, I miss them.
Oh, my God, do I ever miss them. You know, that was when I used to have three logbooks, and the log cop, who's a good friend of mine from 25 years ago, you know, I'd fill out the logs, and I'd turn in the head dispatcher's logs to her. He'd sign them, you know. I'd walk in, I'd give him his logs, and I'd give him my logs, and it was February, and I got driver of the month, January, February, and March. And they're like, how are you running 16, 17,000 miles? We were running for a company out of Lewiston, Idaho, pulling up doubles. And I'm like, you know, all you guys want to go to Los Angeles and you run over Donna. I said, I go to Mississauga, I go to Saskatchewan, and I said, in the wintertime, the ice sets up, I can haul 60, 70 mile an hour. I adjust the brakes on the doubles where the back trailer is the tightest and the rest are a little bit less coming forward. So if you get in a mess, you grab that Johnson bar and she straightens you right out and you haul ass, you know. I was running twice what they were running. So
those were the days.
Know, I mean, those were the good old days, man. And, it's a little different now. So I don't normally drive a truck. I own a trucking company and a freight brokerage. And, but we're getting into FEMA right now, They just called us. And so I'm one of these guys that I got good people in the office. I got to get my feet on the ground, and I want to see what's going on. And the best way for me to know what the hell's going on is to sit in the truck. And
well,
it's
funny you say
myself.
That. I never go out in the truck without learning something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you always learn. It's the only way to learn.
That's right.
And I did Hurricane Sandy in a truck that I didn't even give the guy a penny down. It was an old wore-out truck. I told him I'd pay him $1,000 after the first 30 days. 2 months into having the truck, Hurricane Sandy hit. After fuel, insurance, and everything, I netted $26,000 in a month. Three times what I paid for the truck.
Wow.
Yeah, in 1 month. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's very unfortunate, there is money in misery.
There's a lot of I've got friends on Facebook, think I'm a hero, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing a good thing, you know. But you don't have a clue how much money I'm making doing it, you know. And that's the really depressing part, you know. But they also know I'm a $2 whore and I don't do anything for free, you know. And I got another story. You were talking about the LTL. Well, for a while there, I was pulling a 28-foot flatbed, and then I had a 26 or 28-foot tilt bed. I pulled them as a set of doubles.
Wow.
And, oh, yeah, the only way to go, man, you can back them up, no problem, because you don't have the converter in the middle.
Right.
And you'll find this, do it. Right now we're moving a lot of doubles from California up to Washington and Oregon.
Right.
And so many loads. One, let me climb back in the truck real quick. Hang on a minute.
I love it. Real truck driver.
Yep.
So many loads want a dedicated trailer. Even though it's a partial, it might be 20 feet, they want the whole trailer.
I know.
So pulling a set of 28-foot pups, you can give them a whole trailer, and you can charge them extra, and then you turn around, and you give the other trailer to the next person.
That's right.
So you can make a killing doing the pulling the 28-foot flatbed and the 28-foot tilt bed. I was moving, it was like 4 or 5 years ago, and coming out of Laredo, going up to Seattle, they had these big Caterpillar beds, different parts. They were all oversized. And they would only allow you to put one on each trailer. And they were paying $5,000. So I call up the broker, and I'm like, well, I want two. He said, no, only one per trailer. I said, well, I got two trailers. Oh, so I load with these other guys. They're all running flats and steps. We all load up. It's $4,500 or $5,000 a piece. I got $10,000 worth of freight on my truck. We
wow.
got up to Tacoma to deliver on Monday morning. And they're like, what did they pay you to? Another $500 to bring that other one? I'm like, yeah, something like that. You know? But the thing is, you got to, just like you said, you got to get out of the damn box. You got to open your eyes. You got to work the load board. You got to learn the load board. And, you know, if it's a 20-foot trailer and they want a full trailer, it's a 20-foot partial, but they want a full trailer, you give them a 28-foot trailer and you fill up the other one. You do the LTL. We're running from San Diego right now up to Portland or Seattle. I'm paying $2,000 to pull a set of doubles up there. And the best week that we've had so far with the doubles, and then we either load dollies and run them back down. So we did that. We left the dolly up in Seattle. The best week, gross to the driver, one of my owner-operators, was $11,000. And all he did
wow.
was a round trip, 2,500 miles. Yeah, because I got him a $3,500 load that picked up in Bremerton at the naval base, going back down south. and then I got $2,000 on the trailer, so that was $5,500, and then we put four partials in the two different 28-foot pups. Yep.
Phenomenal, man.
Believe me,
that's what I like to hear.
Happy camper. But you got to take the time. You got to plan it. And you got to know what the hell you're doing.
And you have to have the right drivers. If you, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
You can't have
guys
that are in
right
a hurry.
Now, I'm moving 35-foot trailers with a lift axle, $1,500 from San Diego to Portland or Seattle. And I've got three guys running those dedicated. And all they do is they bobtail back home from Washington because they are getting between the 1500 and the load, whatever, they're getting 2500, 3000 for a partial or a couple partials. So they're getting $2 a mile and they bobtail home. They don't even screw with getting a load to go home. They just bobtail from Seattle back to San Diego. They're happy as can be.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I got some regular brokers set up with them.
Wow, that's phenomenal, man.
You gotta be outside the box.
Well done.
Hey, Colin, you're killing it out there, Colin. You're definitely killing it out there. We definitely appreciate the phone call. And one thing that definitely I'd like to hear, and one thing that I had to contend with when I had a bunch of employees, is fighting the mentality of, well, I just want one load. Trying to get people to break the that there's only one way to do business, that there's only one way to run freight. Trying to break through some people's limitations in their mind and their thought process, that's one of the biggest battles, conundrums that you have to fight with being a business owner and getting and when you got other people on your team, if they have that mentality, getting them to try to break out of that mentality, that's one of the biggest fights. One of the biggest struggles that I had, that I personally have had to contend with,
with other people that
I've been trying to work with.
We specialize in power only and loadout. You would be amazed how many guys are too damn lazy to even put a load in a trailer. They're like, oh no, we don't load trailers. We just pull them empty. I'm like,
oh, that's great in the winter.
It's like, how stupid are you guys, you know? I mean, it's insanity. It's total insanity how lazy some of these damn people are. You know, like you say, wintertime?
Yeah.
No, I don't know, man. But there's money to be made, and when everybody, I'm saving up to buy a trailer. I'm like, why are you going to buy a trailer? What are you going to get? Oh, I'm going to get a driver.
Well, you know what, Colin, in all honesty, it really depends where your domicile is out of, because I have spoken to other guys
who tried to
do the power only, and were in their region it didn't work. And the second they went out and they got themselves a trailer, they were making money. So, you're in a region where it works. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a lot. Most power onlys and loadouts, you can have them for 10 days. Sometimes we'll let you go 12. So, really, there's plenty of time to get through the house if you plan your loads right for 3 or 4 days. And unless they're, like you said, doing short runs don't work with power only and load out. But if you're willing to get out there and run 3 or 4 weeks, you know, you can make a killing. And the idea is you pick up the trailer, you find a load from where the trailer picked up to where it's delivering, and you turn 2 or 3 trailers a week. And at $200 to $1,000 a trailer, plus the freight inside of them, you're making a killing. Plus, you got zero maintenance.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, but it's all, we all do things differently, you know. That's the beauty of this world.
Hey, well, Colin, don't be a stranger, my friend. Call back in and give us some more tips, some pointers. I definitely.
Yeah, we really enjoy this.
All right, Colin, I'm going to grab a couple more. We're running into overtime. I want to try to get these guys in because they pushed the button before time ran out. So I'm going to try to get these guys in. Let's go and grab Nick real quick. Nick, you up and on board with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Really good. How are you?
Great. And yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm just I know it's getting late, and so but I'm curious about the partial thing more. I do a run for a dedicated shipper that pays It pays a round trip rate. I have two trailers. I drop one there, and then but they're covered wagons, flatbeds with side kits. And
right.
I'm curious about you know, picking up some of these like a pallet of this or a pallet of that. You know, how willing are some of these people to work with a trailer like that? You know, if you bump a dock. You know, if I open the tarp,
it really depends what the commodity is. You know, you're going to have a hell of a time convincing some guy with rolls of paper that he should give you that pallet. How far do you run?
I run out of northern Indiana, and I'll go as far as like Fargo. That's about as far west as I go.
You know what?
Chicago's
you'll find
my...
that there's all sorts of people out there that would be glad to give you farm equipment and machinery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people buy farm tractors.
If you can find stuff small enough to fit inside, because otherwise, if I got to tear the kit down, I have done that, but I've found that it's
time consuming.
Not real. Yeah, it's very time consuming unless the load pays. The problem with that is that market going west back to east is generally pretty cheap. So that's why I'm curious of the partials.
I'll give you another one. Have you ever thought of hauling cars in there?
No, I guess I haven't. I guess a smaller car would fit in there. That's true. That probably would be.
How wide is the inside of your trailer?
It's right at 8 feet.
8 feet.
So
you can get a fair sized car in there. I would imagine you may have to take a board. You can take one board off your kit so you can. How high are your boards?
They're 4 feet on the sides, and then it's about 6.5 feet in the middle.
Okay, well, there's your answer. So what you're going to do, I'll give you the recipe to the secret sauce. What you can do is you can haul light trucks and cars and things, and you can load them with a tilt and load trailer. So now mm-hmm. they can get right up to your deck.
Yep. Okay.
You could do it. Those old farm tractors everybody's starting to collect.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That
those
kind of
too.
Stuff. Smaller stuff like that. That. Yeah. They.
And
that's
people line
point.
Up for that. And then what you do is you can fasten it. You can hook it in front, and you can just climb over the boards.
Right. Yep. Okay. How about as far as like. I've really never posted my truck on the load boards. I have, you know, I have a truck stop, the subscription or whatever, but
what are you waiting for?
How do you post from one end to the other or do you?
Yeah, you post that you have a truck in Fargo, North Dakota, and you want to go to, you want to go to Seymour, Indiana or wherever you want to go in Indiana.
Okay.
Goshen, Indiana or wherever you need to get
back
to.
Brokers will kind of figure out if they're in the middle of that, or that's what I'm wondering.
Well, what happens is you post. What happens is a broker that's got a load in, let's say in northern Minnesota or in Minnesota on the way in Bemidji, Minnesota, and he's got
sure.
something that'll fit in your trailer. He will call you because he's got a load going into a region near yours. He sees the
okay.
opposite equation of you.
Okay. Yeah, I
would start
really
posting it. You're just throwing
yeah.
money down the toilet.
Well, I know I've got a ton of opportunity going back, you know, most of the way empty.
Oh my God, man! You're giving away.
Yeah.
You're giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars. I hope you're real rich.
Well, no, like I said, it's something I haven't been doing it. I've been doing it for about a year, and I've been trying to work on that lane, but full truckload. Stuff is that would meet the time schedule and things like that is really it's just there's just what you see on what find on the boards is just you know basically garbage. I don't know what else to say. I did do real well this summer with pipeline machinery that was moving west to east, but and that required taking the kit down, but they were willing to pay because they had to have it moving, you know
and if
so,
I were you, I would call some brokers in the area. You can call my office in Chicago even. They get partials out of Minnesota.
Okay.
Even if you loaded in, you know what, even if you picked up some freight in Minneapolis even.
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely.
And you took it to Indiana, you're still okay. You don't have to load right out of where you emptied.
No, right, exactly. And I don't really need a lot of money to make that very profitable.
Don't tell
either.
That to anybody.
I mean,
that's your secret.
You know what I'm saying. But I'm just –
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I just I'm really curious about it, and it's not like I hadn't ever heard of it before, but I just haven't ever really talked to anybody who kind of knew how to do it. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, when I look on the board, occasionally I'll see some, you know, L, or, you know, they're listed as L on truck stop, I guess, but, you know, I just haven't really looked into it. I guess I should more.
100%. You know, you're just wasting a lot of potential revenue.
All right. Well, that's kind of all I wanted to know. It's a dumb question in a way, but I wanted to talk to somebody who knows how to do it, I guess, more than anything.
Just
so.
Post your truck and go to it. And also, if you get a chance, call some brokers in the on both ends. You know,
right,
as I say, you can call my Chicago office. They probably have freight out of. I know sometimes they do have freight out of Minnesota, out of. Yeah, to Minnesota going back towards Indiana and Chicago.
Right. Well, Nick, we definitely appreciate the phone call. Check back in with us and let us know how that's working out for you. Got one more in the queue. Didn't get a name, but we're going to just try and freewheel it here. Caller from the 803, you're up and on board with Rico and Chuck. Last caller of the night. How can we help? Caller from the 803 area code. All right. Well, maybe Nick was the last caller of the night. Chuck, I want to thank you for being so gracious with your time. Coming up and on board and pinch hitting for me tonight and, you know, taking kind of bailing me out a little bit.
Well, my pleasure.
So, before we get out of here, while we got a couple people still on the line, we're not being recorded any longer, but how can the good people that are still listening, how can they get in contact with you?
Okay, if they want me, they can call 800-388-4352. My extension is 203. That's really important, guys. If you're going to call me, you got to remember my extension because otherwise you're going to go through a myriad of people here. If you want to talk to my U.S. dispatch offices, you can call my Chicago office. The number there is 888-253-8010. Extension 743, or you can call our Texas office, which we just opened, and the number there is 888-713-5189, extension 721, and those guys can help you with any interstate loads. I can help you with cross-border loads, or I can direct you places, and I can also answer any questions you have. This industry has done so much and given myself and my family so much, it just gives me an opportunity to give back to an industry that would accept an outlier like me. So give me a call, and if you get my voicemail, leave a number, speak clearly, and I promise I'll call you back.
All right. Thank you again, Chuck, for taking time out of your busy schedule. I want to thank the young ladies back in Atlanta for taking time to help us out screening the phone calls. I'm not sure which one of my daughters was handling those duties tonight, but thank you. Thank you, young ladies. Thank you, girls. And want to thank the entire Let's Truck team that helps us bring this, make the show possible for us to bring it to you. Kevin and Lisa Rutherford, want to give them big shout-outs, and we'll talk to you guys, God willing, same time, same place next week. Hopefully we won't have as many kinks in the system at that time, and we can try to run a little bit smoother. And thank you guys for taking time out of your schedule for participating and listening in, downloading the show. Tell a friend about the show. We want to try to grow it a little bit more. I appreciate you guys. God bless you. Good night. Be safe. And like we always say, keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night, Rico. God bless. Be safe.